We've got, as far as board members, between, well, we've got Kurt, Barry, Joe, Brad, and Kathy, which is a quorum, so that's good enough to get going. And John indicated he would not be joining us, but I thought Larry was going to, but we'll see if he joins us as we move along. I appreciate everybody's flexibility in meeting over the phone. I don't know whether it's a big deal or not, but I get a little nervous when all the schools are shut down and the courts have suspended all hearings and everything else, and churches are canceled and sporting events. So I thought, just out of an abundance of caution, then let's go ahead and meet telephonically. Hopefully this works for everybody, and we'll see how it goes, and see, you know, how we proceed from here, depending on what happens around us. Mariah, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to ask everybody just, well, if you're not speaking, to mute your phone just so that there's not any background noise that will keep us or distract us. And Vance, I think you're recording. Are you the one that's recording the meeting?
Yes, all taken care of. No worries.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. With that, if you guys don't mind, then I'll go ahead and pray for us to get started, unless someone else wants to volunteer. All right, I'll go ahead and get us started. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for the opportunity we have to meet together and to discuss the matters of Deer Springs Ranch, and we pray that we might be able to make wise decisions and have open conversations as to how to proceed, best proceed, and represent the membership there. We pray for those around us that are in difficult circumstances, that they might be watched over, and help us to work together and be kind to one another. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Mariah, I'll turn the time over to you so you can go through you've got the agenda. Hopefully everybody that needs it has the agenda up in front of her, but I'll let Mariah kind of tick down through the items so we don't miss something. Go ahead.
That would be great. Do you mind if we go ahead and do roll call one more time? I missed a couple of names.
Well, this is Barry. Yes, so we'll go through. This is Barry.
Or let me just do this. Why don't I say who I have, and then if I've missed you, please forgive me and please let me know. I have Joe Bove, Kurt, Barry, Kathy, Brad, Van, Nick Brignoni, Michael Jordison, and I believe Dan, are you? I missed a couple names there.
I think that was just Vance. He got kind of cut off. I don't think there's Dan on, but Vance just indicated he was on.
Okay. Is there anybody else that I've missed? Okay, great. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the approval of the February 2020 meeting minutes, with Kathy presenting that.
Those meeting minutes have been sent out twice by Mariah, once this morning, and I've looked through them and I don't see any changes. Are there any suggested changes or corrections from any of the board members?
I'm good with them. I already sent that to Mariah. So unless somebody else has a problem or something they want to add, then that's great.
All right, Mariah, it doesn't sound like there are any objections to the meeting minutes as presented, so I'll ask somebody to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes and then a second.
This is Joe.
Okay, Joe made a motion to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Sounds like Kurt seconded it first, so he got you, Kathy. All in favor? Actually, let's just ask, is there any opposed to approval of the meeting minutes? Sounds like that passes unanimously with the board members that are in attendance. So let's mark that down as approved.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is the treasurer report, led by Joe Bose.
Okay. Looking really good as far as the budget goes. We've collected 75% of our dues. We're in good shape. The checking accounts got $116,500 in it. The savings accounts got $59,000 in it. I'm leaving off the pennies and the low dollars. And that special savings accounts got $4,250 in it. So we're looking really good. There's no major concerns about anything on the budget so far. I'm happy to announce that Mariah received a check for $831 for the cores for the battery. That check finally came through, so we're looking good there. The bottom budget we're showing on the profit and loss of the of minus 13 for the year, but I think that's because we've added 10,000 for the roads, and we added another few thousand for the new management company, and we also received a bill from for the CCNRs to be registered with the state for $834. So all in all, I think we're going to be in good shape. I don't see any problems at all with what we've done so far. That's about all I've got offhand. If anybody else has got any questions.
This is Barry. I just want to make an explanation on the recording fee for the CCNRs. They recently changed the structure of recording fees with the county. Typically, then that would have been, you know, $50 or something, but they changed their structure, and each parcel or each piece of property that's subject to a recording adds to the fee. So that was unforeseen, but it is necessary to record the document so that it is effective. So anyway, that there's a reason why that is a surprise and wasn't in the budget, but we'll figure out how to make up for it as we move through the year. So
I agree, no problem at all.
Did someone else just join us? Larry, are you on?
No, this is member Byron Shimp.
Okay, we just want to make sure we get records of everybody that's on. Welcome, Byron.
Thank you.
Okay, sounds like are there any questions for Joe based on the treasurer report and or the finances? Sounds like there aren't. Mariah, do you want to go take your section next?
Yes, but I don't have anything further to add other than just a reminder that we're coming up on the end of first quarter, and those that haven't paid their assessments, you still have a couple more days to get your assessments paid before late fees will be assessed. Other than that, I don't have anything else.
Let me ask you a question, Mariah. This is Barry again. All of my hotel clients, restaurant clients, have had a mass exodus just in the last week of cancellations, going from 75 or 80% occupancy down to 5 to 10% occupancy. Have you had any cancellations as far as cabin reservations? Has anything changed there one way or the other?
No, nothing's changed as far as my paperwork shown. In fact, we had a member pretty much run to the ranch, so maybe that will be the solution.
Well, that's possible. I just, a lot of my clients ask about whether they should or shouldn't relax their cancellation fees because people are nervous about traveling, and I don't think people are necessarily thinking about the summer quite yet, but it doesn't sound like it's an issue or that we need to discuss whether we waive cancellation fees or not at the ranch. Is that correct?
Yes, not at this time. I haven't received anyone of concern yet regarding their reservations. In fact, I've been receiving reservations, so nothing has changed on our end.
And the next question is how are things going? And maybe this is better from Kurt, but how are things going with your coordination with Kurt as to how we're going to handle check-ins and check-outs and reservations and those kind of things? Have you guys worked that out? Do you feel comfortable with where you're at, or any comments there?
I'll let Kurt speak for his side, but as far as I'm concerned, I think we've got a good system going. We're developing some great system plans, and I feel like it's smooth sailing.
I agree.
Perfect. Any questions for Mariah before we move to the next subject? Doesn't sound like it. Mariah, what's next?
Next on the agenda would be the property management report by Kurt.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
It's wet and muddy and toilet paper is $50 a roll at DSR. Moving along, you know, we got Dean checked in, so I got my first check-in yesterday, day before yesterday, and they were pretty easy. Had a little challenge with the refrigerator. Brent came down, and we relit it, and I haven't heard back, so I'm assuming it's fine. Cabin 8's refrigerator is just blazing. I mean, it's working really well. And it's been over a week since it was lit. The comfort stop is open. We have water, hot water, and everything going in there. We're going to do, when this weather passes, when it dries enough so we're not tromping in the mud, we're going to try and get the garden cabin open. Not that we need it, but just to get ahead of the program so we don't run into any unforeseen repairs and get behind. The door, as you know, I tore up the porch and went out and cut some posts for the porch, and those are in place, and then this weather started getting nasty. I also tore out a wall in the store where the old sink and cupboard above it were. Those are gone now, and to get the gas run to the refrigerator, we needed to get some line of sight going. We needed to redo it, so I took part of the wall, thinking it was drywall, and it's actually plank behind that. And then I ran the water lines over to the drain so that, and then I have a hand sink at the restaurant, and I'm going to talk to Boyd about buying that. I think it was $150, but it's a stainless steel hand sink, and it's on legs, and it's something we did not have last year, was a way to wash your hands after the comfort stop, the first room. And then, if that sink is unavailable, then I can go to Webstrom store and order one that mounts to the wall, and they're like $90, stainless steel. And I have soap dispensers, so people aren't having soap, so we can be not cross-contaminating each other. And that's about it. I ran the generator yesterday for about 4 hours because there just wasn't any power to the house, and the 40K tank was down about a third. So we need to eventually find that leak somewhere.
I was just going to ask, how did the generator work? Does it start right up? Is it functioning pretty well?
Yeah, everything is working good. The generator's running good. I fire up the backhoe and the tractor periodically just to make sure they're not dead batteries and stuff. And everything's firing up good. I'm working on, in this wet weather, I'm working in the tool room, and I'm making some birdhouse kits. So when kids come up, they can do little projects. I'm trying to work on activities for the summertime. I had a lot of suggestions. I want to do something in conjunction with the barbecues. I'm a little concerned of the lack of attendance on the barbecues and the amount of effort that goes into them from last year. But hopefully my cooking will get more people out there.
Good. Good. Anything that you see in the next month that's going to be an issue that you need help with? Or just out of curiosity, how much snow is out there right now?
There's not any snow right now. It's all melted off. It's just It was a challenge. It wasn't a challenge. It was a bad getting out, but it was, you know, the spots that are slick on Scoot and Paw Row are slick right now. So there's just mud out there right now. Anything else till next Wednesday and Thursday, I think it's calling for snow, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
This is Joe. For the heck of it, yeah, this is Joe. I checked my camera on my lot 107, and I had about 4 inches of snow on the ground right now.
Yeah, the upper areas are still have still got snow. Around the headquarters, I mean, there's little, really thin patches of snow that should be gone by the end of today. All the snow that fell, and we got quite a bit, but it was all wet snow. It never really got cold. Now, later in the week, it is going to get colder. And we have about 5 days where it is going to drop probably in the low 20s. And there is snow forecasted, but again, I'm not going to hold my breath. We're just going to hope it dries up, we get back to work.
Sounds good. Any questions from any of the members or board members for Kurt? I have one question, and just out of curiosity, Kurt, it sounds like Jeff's helping out a little bit. Jeff Collins is helping out a little bit. Is he? And I don't want to step on any toes, but is he working for you and your management company, or is he just donating labor and helping out to be friendly and helpful?
He's the latter. He's helping out to be friendly and helpful. He's just. Or they can't do anything on their property, so they jump over. And Tina actually likes peeling junipers, and I'm like, "Go, girl!"
Well, it sounds like they're putting in a lot of work, along with Brent, which he always puts in tons and tons of work, and we appreciate that, and we want to be respectful of and appreciative of all the extra time they're putting in just out of the kindness of their hearts, and so kind of keep track of what's going on there so that in the future we can at least acknowledge the contributions they've made and make sure that the membership knows of all the efforts that go into keeping the ranch running and taking care of the ranch even when other people aren't there. So
I will, and I'm cooking them dinner tomorrow night and baking them cakes and all the other stuff Tina's requesting. So I am recompensing them.
Good. Well, we appreciate that. That's important to make sure that people are at least thanked for the efforts that they put in. Any other questions or comments for Kurt?
I got one, Kurt. As far as the starting the diesel equipment, do you have to use starting fluid to do that?
No, they're firing right up.
Okay, good. Because also, preferably if you can, I'd rather have you use a can of WD-40. It works as good as ether, and it's less damaging to the engine.
Okay. I will do that. I've got some in the house, and I'll pick some up for the ranch.
All right. Unlike ether, you can spray on there and then go back and start it. But with WD-40, it's best if somebody sprays it while someone's cranking it because it's not as volatile, but it does work.
Right. The only problems I've had with starting anything, and that's why I start them regularly, because I don't want to have problems when I need them. But it was mostly back in December when we had that really, really cold double-digit, single-digit weather.
All right, Mariah, I think we're ready to move on to the next subject.
Okay, the next item is discussion / approval regarding agricultural budget request for 2020.
All right, Brad, are you going to lead that discussion?
Do we want to save that to the end? Move it back down. We'll combine that with our agricultural report.
That's fine with me. It's whatever works for you.
That sounds good.
Looks like I'm up next, right, Mariah?
Yes.
All right, there's a couple things that I want to update people on and discuss. Brent, you didn't happen to jump on the phone, did you? Dang it. Okay. Vance, feel free to jump in and correct me if I say something wrong, but I've been kind of going back with Brent more often as far as discussions on, first of all, creating or building a water filling station for those that haul water so that we can get certified, which we haven't been ever, as far as hauling water. And I think it's important that if possible that we get that done this summer. I have asked Brent to look into building slash buying a contraption that what we would do is basically extend the line that was added, I think, 2 years ago as a blowout valve on the main water system. This is the South Deer Springs water system. And Brent put together a diagram and measurements to be able to extend that line down to where it can be drained into the wash. And on the way, then we'd have a 4-inch connection into a 2-inch, what they call a J-stand, which is really just a big pipe that sticks up in the air and then curves over, which you can open to fill, you know, dump water into your trailer, a water trailer for water haulers. He has proposed and put together an estimate as to costs and those, you know, the items that are necessary. And the fixed costs as far as items that would be required to be purchased if we don't have them on hand, and we may have some of them, is estimated to be about $3,000, which is right in the budget of what I anticipated trying to do in you know, as far as water system stuff. I think that it's important that for our water haulers that we have a more permanent solution, and also the key element as far as being certified is that the water fill station cannot touch the container that it's filling. So having a hose that you throw in, you know, we have a hose bib and a hose that you throw in a tank to fill up, that's a big no-no in the state as far as cross-contamination and other things. So I think it's important that we move forward. Obviously, that's going to be something that is done as time permits when weather is good and warmed up during the summer. The benefit is which is quite, I mean, honestly, it's Brent's idea of extending that line so when we do have to drain the line or when we have issues there, then the water goes into the wash rather than through the corrals and the headquarters area. Makes perfect sense to me. And next time we have a meeting in person, then I'm happy to share some of the plans and designs and those kind of things. But it's pretty simple. It's extending a line, and it's something that I anticipate getting done this summer before, so that we have it ready to go as soon as possible for water haulers, and also can be exhibited at the annual meeting that it's in place and operational. And so that's one project that I anticipate working on. I'm happy to answer any questions on that before I move forward if anybody has any questions.
Barry, I have one comment.
Is that Larry?
Yeah.
You finally joined us. Okay. Mark him down as late, Mariah. That means he buys lunch next time, but go ahead.
I saw the design that Brent had of making the standpipe. I just bought two mobile standpipes, and we could possibly use one of them in the short term before we build something out of rigid pipe or anything. I had intended to send you a picture of those, but I hadn't got around to it.
Well, just for your and everyone else's clarification, the steel pipe, J-stand pipe, I anticipate keeping it mobile for two reasons. One, so that when we're not using it, we can move it and put it away, so it's not just there to be run over or hit by vehicles or animals or anything else. And number two, I just think it makes sense. The key is getting the pipe extension done, and then if you have one that we can use temporarily, that would be great. I don't think the construction or and or purchase of the J stand is going to be a huge deal, but I think the more important thing is getting the line extended to where and the valves installed to be able to make this work.
Right, I agree.
Cool. Any other comments or questions on that? All right. The next thing, go ahead.
Barry, I just found a picture. I'll send it to all you guys of what similar to what you're talking about in lieu of Brent being there to explain it all.
Yeah, if you have one that you can send around, I looked online for a while and found a whole bunch of different pictures, but I'm not the expert, so that's why I asked Brent to kind of look into it. If we decide to build one, we're going to need some help from Joe and others that know what they're doing as far as welding and that kind of stuff. I think we can either buy one or put one together, but I wanted somebody to look at it that has a little bit more engineering background. I can make anything you want happen on paper, but beyond paper, I'm not very good. So.
Right. Yeah, I'll send this along, and all we'd really need to do is build something like this and add an air gap to it. And, a check valve on the hose side when it hooks to the blow-off, and we'd be done. So I'll shut up and just do that.
Cool. Well, I appreciate that, Vance. The next subject that I've asked Vance and Brent to help me out on a little bit is I was trying to get caught up on Phil Hall's project at the Half Moon Reservoir, and what I've gathered so far is and Brad, jump in, because I have some questions for you if I say something that is incorrect. The point of the Half Moon Reservoir is we have an opportunity to do some improvement there that would help water livestock as well as wild animals, keep them out of the bog of the Half Moon Reservoir, possibly to the point where we don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars every year cleaning out the Half Moon Reservoir and allow for a watering station there, which may, if I understand correctly, may allow us to get reimbursed up to 50% of the cost that we put in through the government program that Brad's talked about qualifying for. But the initial proposal was to put in a solar system with all the bells and whistles and batteries to be charged so that you can pump anytime you want. And after talking, well, my initial impression was that's pretty complicated for spilling out some water on the ground or into troughs for livestock and wild animals at this point. The well, as I understand it, at Half Moon is somewhat iffy anyway, and certainly is not constructed in a way that can provide water for human consumption as far as being certified or qualified there. So I thought we'd scale it back significantly and get rid of all, basically set up a system where when the sun's shining, there's an amount of water that's pumped out that can be turned on and off. When the sun's not shining, it simply doesn't pump, but we don't have to go through the process of replacing batteries and all kinds of stuff. But in the future, if there's a need, or if we drill a new well for other purposes or whatever, then the same system could be used or expanded to be able to do that. The estimates that Brent got back to me after doing some research, and I'm sure Vance was involved as well, we initially budgeted about $15,000 to do the project, but I think, unless I'm completely wrong, then based on what Brent said, unless this excludes replacing or pulling the pump that's actually in the well right now, then we could do the project for about $5,000 and save somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000 on the project and still qualify for what I believe would be required for Brad's matching funds through the government grant. At the same time, if we don't qualify for the matching funds, I personally don't care a whole lot. I still think it's a project worth doing to provide water there and avoid the need to maintain all the time the Half Moon Reservoir to hold water there or to haul water to livestock there. So that's kind of where we're at. We're still, buttoning things down, but again, the next step would be lining up someone to pull the pump or service the pump that's there, and then purchase the components for this system in an effort to possibly put this together this summer, so that we have a reliable water source for wildlife and for livestock at that location. Any questions or any comments on what I'm trying to do? Tell me I'm wrong or that I missed the boat. Go ahead, Joe. I heard you talking.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I think you're on the money with that project of just doing it for the $5,000. And in reference to Phil Hall, he called me the other day and he said he's confirmed the 60-foot track hole with a reach to be lined up for the 1st of April. So if we need to clean out the Half Moon Reservoir deeper, he could do that on the way going out when he's finished with Phil Hall's place and he's finished with Pond 1 and 2, and then he can help clean out the Half Moon Reservoir. We can get all that done, hopefully, in the first week of April.
And that sounds good. Since the machine's out there, I would like to focus more, if I'm right, and I could be completely wrong. I'm looking for you guys to tell me whether I am or not. I'd rather focus more of that work on Ponds 1 and 2 than on Half Moon because, again, if we can have a consistent water source there, and if we have troughs, then the Half Moon Reservoir itself is not quite as important to be cleaned out and spend a lot of time on it. Am I right or wrong on that, Larry, or anybody else? Can you tell me?
Well, I think it ought to be cleaned out a little bit because it's kind of heavy in the middle with the mud. But I also think we should concentrate with that backhoe to pull down the gravel to make it easier to pull more gravel.
Okay. Anyone else have a thought or opinion on cleaning out Half Moon Reservoir or on the project I'm kind of working on or anything related to having machinery out there?
Vance,
go ahead.
Okay. One thing that we talked about it years ago and never went anywhere, and Larry C., you probably can, you know, chime in on this. Would it make any sense to put somewhere upstream on the ditch that feeds Half Moon, another smaller little pond that's easier to clean out, lots more accessible, to catch the silt before it gets to the big pond where it becomes a gigantic pain in the ass to clean it out?
It's already there.
Yeah.
Not the one at the catchment. I'm talking about a separate one.
Yeah, there's a separate right across from the first road that's Rod Hollow, back over toward the in the drainage. There's a pond that they clean out, the silt pond that catches silt before it gets even down to Half Moon Reservoir.
Well, that's what Vance is calling the diversion, but we should have one upstream from there. We should have two. Historically, there was another one up right at the confluence of Broad Hollow and Meadow Canyon that did that job partially, and then there was another one up right below or right where the Johnny Brown Road and Leaf Spring takes off. And so, yes, Vance, there should be two or three other silt traps above the diversion dam that Brad's referring to. There are several other things that should be worked on.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean, we talked about it once years ago. It's just something we can kick this around offline. No problem. I'm just throwing that out there. Other thing, and we talked about this too, I forgot about it till now. When we have, if we have somebody come down to pull the pump, we might want to talk to that person about well casing rehab and whether or not that's even worth thinking about on Half Moon. When we last ran it a couple or 3 years ago with the generator, it's way down from what it used to be as far as what you can pump out of it and not draw it all the way down to the bottom. Well rehab might well be really, really expensive, but I just wanted to see if we get somebody out there to pull a pump, we could talk to them about it.
I think that's worth that. I mean, as long as they're there, let's find out whether this is cost prohibitive or whether it's something that can be looked at as far as well rehab and addressing the existing casing, etc. So I think does anybody know of somebody that they can list other than Fletcher that goes out and would be available, somebody I can contact as far as pulling the pump and assessing that sometime late spring?
Barry, you can get a hold of Gardner Brothers and Enterprise. They're the ones that put our wells in over in the Johnny Brown area, and he does that. So you can give him a buzz. I can send you the contact information. It'd be good to get bids anyway.
Perfect, perfect. Anybody else that anybody knows of?
Vance, who drilled your well?
Well, Rick Miller out of Panguitch. He's drilled several wells at the lower ranch. Brent brought him up in the email, yesterday or whatever.
Yeah, I've got his contact information as well as Alma Fletcher. I was just wondering if there's anyone else that's been out familiar with the property. Okay, so anyway, that's kind of where I'm at. Brad, I have a question for you. If we create a situation and spend money on a solar system and rehabbing the pump, is that am I correct in assuming that we may qualify for partial reimbursement from your grant funds if and when they ever come through?
As long as we build something within the parameters of the engineer's design, then we totally qualify. It's not an if. It's not even in question. It possibly would pay us enough money that we could put new equipment or use that money back toward doing some, enhancement of the well itself. Above and beyond what has been done. The requirements for the project are really quite minimal. They're nothing extensive like the plan that was put forth by Phil Hall. I think Phil was putting forth a plan because of the amount of water share that we have there and the capital that we might one day be able to use that for something else. And that's been taken in to consideration also in placement of the water troughs and using that water there. So if in the future we decide to upgrade and be able to do that, we want to be able to capitalize that without having to redo or move any of our work.
And I agree we want to be able to expand. My understanding, though, is there's simply not that amount of water there's not that amount of wet water that can be pumped out of the hole as it sits right now. That would have to entail rehabbing the well itself substantially, which we may or may not be able to afford to do before we got any more quantity of wet water out of the hole. Is that everyone's understanding, or have I missed something?
So the well will actually do, it won't do what it used to do if you look back at the records, but it'll still do, maybe 5 gallons a minute, maybe continuously. We didn't run it that long. We only spent about 4 hours on it on one day, which is pretty good. Yeah, it's not bad for a ranch well. It's nothing like the HQ well, which is newer and designed for, big pumping. So, yeah, that's sort of where we are with that thing. It's definitely pump enough water for stock tanks and stuff right now during the day every day.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to pump a whole lot for 5 gallons a minute to water livestock. So,
yeah, the big thing is that as far as the future expansion goes, if we start considering serving cabins or a culinary system, we'll have to drill a whole new well because the one that's there will never qualify for culinary.
But if we did that, we would just relocate the equipment fairly close there and still be able to use everything.
Yeah, we could, or we could run them both. It just depends on what you want to do.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to give us the most flexibility at the cheap. I mean, I'm too cheap to spend a lot of money on speculating as to future uses and those kind of things at this point, but I don't want to close the door for, to create a system that's simply obsolete later on if we change purposes or whatever. So It sounds like we're on the right track, at least from what I'm getting comments-wise.
And did I hear the number right at 5,000? The cost was estimated so far to be around $5,000 for
$5,000 for the solar system. That does not include whatever we do with pulling the pump and replacing or modifying the pump. So I think I'm going off the top of my head. I don't have it in front of me, but I think Brent anticipated that the pump stuff would possibly be another $2,000. Okay. Any questions on what I'm doing, or anybody want to tell me I'm smoking crack here?
No.
Mary, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Mariah. Maybe more for Brad. My question is, what does it look like with your idea of requesting some of the funding to be maybe reimbursed through the grant? What does that look like, and what is that process to request that? Where we're Deer Springs making those changes, and as I understand it, the grant is actually through Doug Hunt Cattle Company, and so would he need to put forth those improvements in order for us to qualify, or what? How would that work?
The money, all of the money comes back to us through Doug Hunt, and the qualifications we have to they have to meet the specifications that they've given us to do each project, and if we do that, then we're eligible for money coming back in. And I have some concerns about that too, Mariah, because if we're the last money that we generated in agriculture just simply sucked back into the general fund and didn't stay in agriculture, just went back to the general fund instead of staying in the agricultural budget. And the projects that we have going are expensive, and there's going to be a lot of money coming through there. So we need to determine how to, you know, if as far as your bookkeeping is concerned, but we need to determine how to keep the money that the agricultural projects that we do, when it generates money to come back in, to keep it into the agricultural fund, and that will continue to fund the next project. So it's kind of like a snowball effect. But you have to get something started before we start getting outside money besides our own.
Well, I have a comment on that, Brad, and that is that, and maybe I'm missing something, but the money that's generated in each of the areas, whether it's wildlife or whether it's cabins and those kind of things, it's not enough to cover the expenses. So a portion of what's generated through agriculture has to go to the general fund for everything to flow. I mean, there are things that we do all the time that don't generate any money. Roads, for example, never generates any money, and yet we still have to pay for it, and it has to come out of the general budget. So
okay.
I'm okay, you know, for a long time we've said, okay, well, we need to categorize the income, and then the money has to be spent there. Well, that doesn't work, to be honest with you, because we have to have money generated. Cabins don't generate a lot of money. They don't generate much of any money, and yet that's probably one of our biggest expenses. Employment, as far as the management company, that's a huge expense, and no offense, Kurt, but that doesn't generate any income. So I understand the concept. I don't see how that can possibly work. The amount of money that comes in from agriculture, at least a significant portion of it, is always going to have to be used to pay into the general budget. I'm just one person. I don't know if anybody else has a feeling that way. I just don't see how we can do it otherwise.
Okay, this is my turn and my question. This has been historically happening at the ranch for years. So the money that we budget for agriculture, we're just putting that figure in there, and then we're planning on siphoning that money off into other projects and not using the budgeted money for agriculture for the agriculure projects?
The money that's budgeted for agriculture comes out of the general fund as every other aspect of the budget. And so the money for agriculture comes from the general budget. The money that comes in from agriculture goes into the general budget. I don't know any other. I mean, if we wanted to say, okay, we're gonna take the agricultural income and that's gonna be used exclusively on agricultural projects, that's not gonna allow us to be able to run the ranch.
Well, and I guess the process needs to be looked at here is, you know, you plan next year's budget, you plan on the projects you need to do, and you put in a proposal, and then we approve the budget, and that's, it's not an automatic fill up the budget. It has to be on a request basis.
Well, and I agree kind of with that. For example, with the legal side of things, doesn't generate anything. We collect, you know, we spend money collecting the outstanding dues and water fees and those kind of things. But when I put together the legal budget, I just look at, okay, what are my costs going to be, and what am I going to need to do the job that needs to be done to make the ranch function? So, you know, the membership dues come in for the general operation of the ranch and go into the general budget, and out of those funds, then we propose, you know, different agricultural projects, different cavern projects, and everything else. I don't think we can necessarily isolate a different, you know, an area. Otherwise, Larry's going to say, "Hey, I generate, you know, out of sale of tags, I generate $10,000 or $12,000 a year, and I want to use that in improving wildlife." Well, that's just not going to work.
Well, it would work if we budgeted that in the beginning. So you're missing my question. My question is simply this. The beginning of the year, we budget X amount of dollars for agriculture, wildlife, et cetera. And do we plan on spending that money for those areas that we budgeted?
Or yes.
Do we plan on not spending that money? Because historically, we have not spent the money in these areas that we budgeted, and that's why the general infrastructure of the agriculture is run down. So I don't propose anything above and beyond what we budget on a yearly basis. But if we budget money and it creates more money that's outside the budget, if this other money comes in, then we need to roll that money. I mean, I'm not talking about taking additional money from the budget for any project. But if it's generating more money, then we use that money to fund the other project.
I understand a little bit better now what you're saying, and yes, I agree with you. So if you take money that if you're able to get grant money, let's say $3,000 of funds from grant money, that certainly should be set aside to go back into agriculture, because it's not a part of the normal budget, and it's, I won't say free money, but it's that's generated over and above our normal budget stuff, then that can be earmarked for agricultural projects. I don't have a problem with that.
Exactly. And that's all I'm saying is the ranch is where we're at, because historically you can go back to the records and in this last year, for example, I kept hearing about our possibility of us running in the red, and we weren't able to aggressively attack our weed abatement plan, and so there's funds that just had been sitting there hoping that we could get to the weed abatement. But I didn't want to spend money if it was going to push our overall budget. I was willing to sacrifice the agriculture money if it was going to push our overall budget into the red. But when the overall budget came out into the black, and that is why I requested that the funds that we have sitting there be pushed into the agriculture. I'm not asking for more funds. I'm just asking for the funds that were designated for agriculture, because I hesitated spending it before. And the truth is, historically, year after year, we budget X amount of dollars and we underspend that. So this last year, we were $1,700 underspent, with the additional $1,000 that returned to our home budget or our overall budget by the sale of the ranch animals. So we were actually $2,700 under our original agriculture budget this last year. If you counted that money that the we spent money and then we collected it back and it just went back into the general funds. And so my concern was, is when I seen that happen, my concern was simply that, yeah, we'll get some money back for the projects that we complete, and then that money will just go to roads or something else. But instead of going back into the overall plan to rebuild the ranch and to, you know, the overall control and care of the ranch in general. So I just think that if we're going to budget money, we should, unless we run out of money, then we need to adjust our budgets. And I understand that, and that was kind of what I was trying to do last year. But if we budget money, we should. Agriculture is one thing that is a resource for our ranch. So it's something that actually will make us money. And so we should put some of that money back into it and to keep our infrastructure up and to take care of the ranch in general.
Well, and I think what my comment to that is, you, as long as you're over agriculture moving forward, you need to make sure that you budget for what you want to do and include what you need to do there and then follow through and make sure as much of that as possible can get done. Where, you know, there are times we have to adjust our budgets. In legal department, we ran under last year, and yes, that money just went back into the general fund. But at the same time, I think we were all nervous about being over. Thank goodness we ended up okay at the end of the year. But we just have to be sensitive. But definitely, we each in our area should be planning the projects we want to do and monitoring that through the year to make sure that they get done where possible, so that we're continuing to upgrade and make the ranch a better place. So, all right, that's on my area. That's all the comments and questions I had. So, Mariah, it looks like is Kurt next.
Can yeah. I make a suggestion?
Oh, go ahead.
Since we've talked about half of what my thing is already, could we just kind of briefly go over? I have a presentation I'd like to give to the board and our members. That's a lot that really needs to be done in person. So, could I just go take my agriculture time now because we spent? I mean,
yeah, you would be right after Kurt anyway. We'll just switch you. So go ahead, Brad. Take your time and report on your area or whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. So agriculture, as far as my responsibilities in over agriculture, I break it down into several areas. They would be erosion, weed abatement, fences, water systems for wildlife, livestock, and fish, and crop management. Does anybody see any other areas that I would be responsible for?
I don't think you said fences in there, right?
Fences, yes.
Yeah. Nope, I think that's about it.
And so these are the areas of my responsibility or that I have seen my responsibility over agriculture. And so what I have done since I was voted on the board and given the responsibility of agriculture is I've contacted the county extension agents and then and other local and federal agents, and they've come out and we've toured the ranch and tried to make a ranch management plan in all of these areas. All of these areas would be improvements to the ranch and beneficial to the ranch, improve the value of the ranch, improve our ability to lease the ranch for agricultural purposes to make money up to and including maybe possibly in future crop raising or something like that. And so I've tried to put all of those into a general plan, and the projects that I have or that are I'm mostly focused on right now are simply projects that we can get Doug to get money for us for if we complete. That being said, when we bring the cattle into it, oftentimes it's misconstrued that this is somehow beneficial to Doug Hunt Cattle Company or our leaser. He simply is a renter from us, and rents our grass. And so he buys our grass for his cattle contractually. Nothing in our cattle program or in our agricultural program has to do with necessarily his contract. He is contracted to main fences that we build, but he is not contracted to build fences or to replace any of our fences. The only thing that I can remember right now without going through the contract is that it states in there somewhere that we should try to work together with our contractor and the ranch for the mutual benefit. Because if there's improvements to the ranch, it mutually benefits our renter or improves the cattle, you know, graze and makes it better for him. So he's been totally willing to, you know, do all these projects as far as the grant money is concerned. And when we say grant money, it really isn't grant money. It's it's a contract between him and NCRS or NRCS to make improvements to the land. And those improvements are pretty simple. I mean, it's not really that complex, the things that we can do. And because I'm involved with both him and the ranch, then I took this opportunity to, like, improve water systems that he doesn't need. None of the projects that I'd like to get done are projects that he needs to have done. I mean, it's not a need for him. He can continue to fulfill his responsibilities, run his cows or whatever with the ranch the way it is. So it's not a necessarily need for him, and there's nothing that we are going to do that's actually going to make him any money. There's no financial benefit to him. The only benefit is that it improves the ranch in general, and that's a mutual benefit to every one of us. And so the funding, the problem that I see is our infrastructure is old. Fences are only going to last so many years. I mean, when you get a 50-year-old fence, you've got a pretty old fence. And at some point, if it's not going to continue to perform its job. And that's kind of where we're at the ranch. And so we have this resource that's been bringing money into the ranch all this time, but there's been no reinvestment in the resource to at least keep the infrastructure of the resource up to speed. And the troughs were a little bit aggressive because I could see that this will be completely paid back. We'll make more money than our budget has allowed us when we finish these projects. So if, for example, let's just say we have $10,000, we budgeted $10,000 to accomplish these projects that we have, and we're going to end the year with at least double what we have of funds coming back into the ranch money. So we're going to have $20,000 of projects done onto the ranch with simply our $10,000 of money that we've spent. None of the projects, like, again, that have been planned or have been planned are outside of our budget. I haven't planned on expending any additional money outside the money that's simply budgeted, but I do plan on bringing in, at least double the amount of money that we spend. So, again, my request was, and this has been something that has been done in the past. I've seen it done with culverts and the road and other things. Is my thought was that, hey, we ran in the black, so we really didn't need to use agriculture money to keep the ranch in the red. Can I have that money to fund these projects to get it going? Because we can't get any money from Doug until a project is completed. And so it's not like they're going to give us money for this project in hopes that that these things happen. We have to complete a project, and it has to be within certain parameters, and then when that's done, then they'll fund that project, and we can get the money back into that, and that can go to, you know, whatever areas we decide it goes to tell you the truth. But
Well, I guess, Brad, that what everybody's kind of concerned about is nobody understands the process of these grants, and there's no forecast of what needs to be done for what. There's nothing to compare anything to. And so I guess, from my understanding, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but, you know, to know what projects are coming up, what are they for? How are we getting funded? How much are going to cost us? How much are we going to get back? When is the time schedule? Just all the structure to this whole thing.
Right.
And we probably
need to do that in person instead of over the phone. And then I'd like to get some,
yeah,
some advanced, made some suggestions to me about putting a physical plan together that people can turn to and look and to see. But let's boil. Sometimes there seems to be some kind of hysteria almost to the point that my perception is that people feel like somehow we're trying to take advantage of the ranch, and that's just simply, there's simply no advantage to Doug Hunt Cattle Company for any of these projects. It's beneficial, but it's not something that's going to make him any money. Matter of fact, it's just going to cost him any money because if we work as a team, and we need to be fair, because money that he puts back into this ranch goes through him and it shows his income. And it absolutely, I checked into it multiple times, it absolutely shows as income to him if this money goes back into the ranch. And so we need to work as a team to be fair to him, because there's no benefit for him to be able to do these projects. And just to boil it down one more time so everybody understands, our responsibility over our agriculture is erosion and weed abatement, the fences, water systems, and crop management. And this is if we don't have a contractor out there, if we're just going to take care of the ranch, our responsibility is exactly the same. Erosion, weed abatement, the fences, water systems, and crop management. And so there's no change to what our responsibilities are. And it's not Doug Hunt Cattle Company's responsibilities to develop and do all of these things unless we're selling him the ranch or we make a contract that there's somehow some benefit to him in order to, you know, move forward and him paying money into these things. I guess the thing that I'm trying to say is simply this. These are our responsibilities. These projects would be projects that we would have on board to complete and to do with or without any contractor on the ranch. If we were simply going to eliminate all animals from the ranch and have the ranch itself, we still need to have fences because we can't put in any kind of crops. Every year we have at least 40 head of neighbors' cattle that encroach on our – we don't have fences that are good enough to keep the neighbors' cattle off of our ranch. In Podunk,
Brad,
at least 20 head.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry, Brad, this is Barry. So I agree that this might be better, more detailed discussion as far as when we're in person and we can get more concrete explanation and documentation of what we've called the grants, which doesn't sound like a grant, but either way, you know what I'm talking about. But I wanted to clarify a few things as to, and this is just coming from me, I don't know how anybody else feels, but two concerns I've got that I would like for you to work into that discussion, and we can discuss them further. Number one, and I just pulled it up, fortunately I'm here, but the contract that we have with Doug Hunt. You're right, we have an obligation to, as a ranch, to maintain fences if no animals are there. But that's one responsibility we passed along to Hunt's as part of this negotiated agreement, and it says, and I'll read it to you, that Hunt is responsible for maintaining existing water systems and fences to keep cattle in. Maintenance of the fences and water systems shall mean that all fences and water systems used within the operation of the cattle and horses shall remain in as good a condition as they were when Hunt began to graze the cattle on DSROA property. So I understand as far, I just wanted to clarify that as far as the fencing is concerned, that is a responsibility that's been passed along to Hunt Cattle Company. And that's how we're accomplishing that. So that's point number two. And I don't, and I'll give you a second to respond if you want. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm not trying to pick on you. I would like to have a little bit of a discussion and an understanding, because fencing keeps coming up that, hey, the ranch is responsible for fencing. Well, the ranch, in my opinion, has passed that responsibility along. The second thing that I'm concerned about that bothers me, and it's nothing that can be done about it at this point, but there was never any discussion in the board or in any meeting or with any other board member of purchasing troughs. Now, here's my concern. Brad Hunt is involved with, if not a co-owner in, and receives direct financial benefit from Hunt Cattle Company. Brad Hunt, as a board member of DSRI, by himself, without input from any other board member, approved the expenditure of $3,000+ on stock watering tanks or troughs that directly benefit Hunt Cattle Company. If there were no cows out there, we certainly would not be buying water troughs. So, and again, I'm not picking on you. I'm just pointing out that even just for appearance sake, then I think that it's inherent and important, and we have our ability to spend a portion of our budget in our particular area, but where you have a direct financial benefit, a direct financial ownership and stake in Hunt Cattle Company and in the cattle, I think that in the future it should not happen, and obviously you're a big boy, you can do what you want, but that decision should have been made by the board. If nothing else, to protect you from criticism moving forward. It's water under the bridge at this point in time. They were purchased. They've been paid for. But that looks bad, in my opinion, and I wish we had done things differently, at least had a conversation over the phone. Go ahead.
Does it continue to look bad at the end of the year when all of that money comes back into the budget and the cost is zero?
This is the first I'm hearing as far as the money coming back into the budget and the cost is zero, that certainly helps. If we can tie those two together, and if the money in fact comes back from some other source to reimburse the ranch for that, then absolutely you're right. It doesn't look bad, but as of right now, we're not at that point.
We'll absolutely make more money than we spend. More money will come back to the ranch than we will spend. There's no financial benefit for me to have a water trough out there. The benefit will be long-lasting into the ranch because these are permanent water troughs that we put in, and then the ranch will own them, and it will be a permanent structure long after Doug Hunt is dead and gone.
And I'm with you there. I think that the discussion should have been had before that was purchased to explain that and to also say this is going to save us on time for hauling water, which is the responsibility of the ranch. This is going to help in deferring costs or avoiding costs as far as maintaining the Half Moon Reservoir or other places. This is going to help with our wildlife. But that discussion, and so I'm just saying, that discussion should have been had before the commitment was made, even if it was had over the phone or through email. That's my point isn't necessarily the decision, it's how it was made.
I point taken. I hear what you're saying. And for going back to your first point, the fences haven't ever held the cattle in. So maintaining a fence that's 50 years old that doesn't hold cattle is a whole lot different than replacing fences. It's not his job to come in and rent our apartment and then re-roof it, unless we contracted him to re-roof it as part of his rent, or we take that out of his rent.
That's what the contract says. Hunt is responsible for maintaining existing water systems and fences to keep cattle in, period.
Barry, this is Mariah. May I add two items here of I feel are helpful? Number one, just speaking back to the financial income, I just want to clarify that so that everyone's aware. So
Hold on, Mariah. I think Brad had a response to this specific issue of the fences. I'd like to hear him. I know you have other points, and I don't want to be rude. I'm sorry, but I want to give Brad an opportunity to say whatever he wants to clarify, because, again, I don't want this to – this is not an argument. This is simply clarification.
Okay. This is what I don't think people understand is the difference between maintaining a fence and replacing a fence. Our fences are worn out. He can maintain an old fence that isn't there. For example, that's why we kind of got in a little bit of a conflict with one of our members who was able to ride through the washes how he wanted, and all of a sudden we tried to replace a fence, an old fence that used to be there. We've replaced that fence, and then suddenly there was a fence replaced that didn't used to be there. And he says, hey, I can't ride through the wash anymore. And what's the problem? But that fence was never there. That wasn't the fences that are the contract says is as good a condition as when he came in or onto the ranch. And so
that's a separate sentence. The first sentence just says the fences are to be maintained to keep the cattle in. That tells me there's a standard there. Again, sorry, I'm putting on my legal hat, but there's a standard there as to, and I know that in your world, then maintaining a fence does not include replacing the fence. In my world, it does. It means that there's a fence there, and if it's knocked to the ground, and it can't be lifted back up, then it has to be replaced.
If his cow's knocked to the ground, I completely agree with you. But maintaining a fence that doesn't hold cows, if you keep the cows in is a different story, but that's true. Luckily, all the cows want to come onto our ranch. Our cows don't necessarily want to go off of our ranch. So keeping the cows in isn't the problem. Keeping the cows out is what the problem is.
Well, I can propose a solution, what I think needs to happen in this area, and then I want to hear from Mariah on other issues. The solution to this is, before we do anything with fences, Hunt Cattle Company can do whatever they want as far as maintaining or rebuilding or whatever fences, but whenever ranch money is to be spent or ranch employees are to be used to do anything with fences, we need to have a discussion in the board to decide whether that works, whether that's part of our contract or not. Problem solved. We'll have a discussion and make a decision rather than having it done. And again, my issue is more not necessarily what's happened, but more how we're going to address this in the future. And my request or my suggestion is that we have a discussion before anything changes or money is spent to protect Brad Hunt as well as anybody else as far as those decisions from being criticized from members or others. And I think the problem solved. Does that make sense, or did I lose everybody?
I feel like I'm going to be criticized no matter what, but we'll try that.
Okay. Well, let's see how that goes. At least we'll have a discussion, and then the decision is on the shoulders of seven people instead of one person who may be criticized.
And I also am happy to resign from the board and then just work with another board member to do these things, and so that would probably remove any conflict up there also.
Well, and that's certainly your prerogative to do. I think that it's better if you're on the board and participating, but I'm not going to tell you what you should or shouldn't do as far as that goes, but you have to recognize that at least how things look, then if you're, as a board member, making decisions on items that directly affect your financial interest outside, then that's going to be an area that we have to be careful with. That's all I'm saying.
There's zero financial interest for me in this.
You don't own an interest in Hunt Cattle Company or get paid any money from Hunt Cattle Company?
I don't, from Hunt Cattle Company. And there's no money to be made with any of these projects or fences. There's no financial benefit to Hunt Cattle Company, let alone me.
I guess the question, well, let's discuss this when we're face to face. Mariah, do you want to go ahead and add your questions or concerns? I think one of them was just a clarification as to how at the end of the year then we are going to be reimbursed or we're going to make enough money to cover the troughs. Is that kind of where you were going?
Yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to just note. Speaking of the money, and I think if I'm following Brad, I'm looking at the finances from last year and following that. In regard to the only place I can see where potential income was brought in was in regard to the petting zoo, which we received $990. However, the budget expenditures for that same category were $2,000. So I think that's the $1,000 he's talking about that came back in. I just wanted to clarify that, not to be unkind or anything, just that's where that money is for those who are wondering where the income is. Am I following that right, Brad? Is that what you're speaking of, or the income?
That was just a point. That's really not important to me one way or the other. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and then the other mention, I'm looking at the actual contract with Doug Hunt Cattle Company as well, and I just wanted to add, Barry and Brad, number 10 on that contract also speaks to what we're talking about, fencing, and notes that all parties agree that all previously designated fence building to be completed by DSROA has been completed. I just wanted to throw that out there as another spot reference.
And you're correct. There is we have no obligation to rebuild our fences on the ranch. We can just let them be in the state that they're in from the time that Doug Hunt came onto the ranch. But if we build a new fence and his cows go through, he's totally responsible to replace and maintain anything that the cows have done. But maintaining an existing fence that has never held cows for the whole time that he's been on the ranch, then we can't ask him to replace existing fences. But I think that there's this exact sentiment is why the ranch's fences are where they're at. In all these years, there's been no money or no plans, or there's not been a systematical plan to replace fencing, because fences are just like everything else, are going to wear out. When it wears out, it's not Doug Hunt's responsibility or anybody's responsibility to replace that. It's the owner of the fence. When your stuff wears out, then they need to be replaced. And that was my point to the resources that it brings in. This has been a point of resource to the ranch for all this time, and yet the money hasn't been directed to reinvest in that resource, and so to maintain fences. And he doesn't need to have the fences. He can let them cows just roam through the fences that we have there. Everything done is done. All I want to do is continually to look forward to the future and replace and restore the ranch and have a project. And I don't want to spend all of our money to do it. I want to stay within our allotted budget, but I want to make sure money or funds go toward restoring the ranch and replacing and reinvesting in the infrastructure of the ranch and to be honest, the troughs, he doesn't need those at all, zero, but it would be really nice and beneficial and of a value to the ranch if we did it. And I could see that we could do this now. If I was willing to do, put in the effort, we could get the funds and they'll pay for themselves. This won't be a cost. We'll make money.
One other quick question I had to add, too, was I'm just curious from a financial standpoint, when you speak of getting money from Doug, and, of course, this can be discussed down the road in person, too. I'm sure that'll be so helpful.
He'll write.
I'm very visual. Yeah. But I'm thinking, what does that look like? And reimbursing,
it looks like him.
I'm hearing a thought of reimbursing Doug because he's receiving it as income, so the ranch would somehow need to give him a thank you for that, or I don't know what that looks like. So I'd love to hear more about that, too, and what the ranch's responsibility to Doug would be.
It looks like treating him fairly is all I've ever
said that he would expect, and all that I've ever told him, that, oh, the ranch will treat you fair with this. That's all I've ever told him and all that he's ever expected. As far as the reimbursement of the money comes in, it's going to come in the form of a check, or he's going to go ahead and purchase and pay for project materials to do the next project, you know, the next crop management, weed abatement project, or whatever. So it's going to be returned to us in the form of cash.
Although Brad, it would be better for him, and definitely wouldn't hurt us if we did it that way. If money was coming in, let's say there's I'm just using this as an example. If there's $3,000 reimbursement that's coming from whatever source through Doug Hunt to the ranch, it would be better for him if he bought materials than write a check to the ranch, because the materials he could write off of his taxes, and a contribution to the ranch he could not. So that's, unless we called it additional rent or something. So let's unless there's something really urgent, let's move on with the other subjects, and we'll plan on picking this up again as necessary when we're able to meet in person, and hopefully we can document a little bit better exactly how it works, and I want you to convey to Doug that we appreciate the things that are happening, and having the cattle up there. None of this is intended to be offensive to him. We just have to talk about the nitty-gritty of how it works, and my job and all of our jobs is to protect the interests of the ranch, and so sometimes we have to ask questions and clarify, and sometimes we have to say no on things that we think will negatively affect the ranch or its members. So hopefully you can convey that to him. There's no intended offense. We just need to get to the bottom of it. So I think the next person up is Kurt, if he has anything to add to his report that he's already reported on.
Barry, can I ask a question on the grants?
Yeah, go ahead. Who is this? Identify yourself.
This is Mike Jordison. I was just wondering what the name of these grants are. I've only ever heard of them as a grant, but all of these, you know, USDA items have a name. Is this the Conservation Initiative Grant? Is it the Environmental Quality Initiative Program?
Well,
which one are we looking at?
I'll let Brad answer that, but apparently we're misnaming them as grants. It's property improvement funding provided. Brad, can you explain the name or the program so that others can look into it?
Yeah, Natural Resource Conservation Services. It's a federal government program that allows private property owners or contractors to improve the land that they are using.
Correct. So I'm actually on that website right now looking at the CIG projects.
This is solely Doug Hunt doing these improvements to the ranch. But we obviously are on his team because it's just a benefit to us. And so it's Doug Hunt taking responsibility, making the contract. It's hours and hours of being able to get to the point that it is. But it's here. The plan has been submitted multiple times. It's been available at every board meeting that we've been at. As far as all these projects, the water troughs were all drawn in, the water lines were all there, solar system, everything. There's nothing new that hasn't been here for 3 years. So, but I understand that we need to be better disseminating this information so everybody understands that. So I say from here to four, we just worry about our agriculture, our programs, and what we're doing to improve erosion, weed abatement, fencing, water, our fences, waters, and our crop management. And we make a plan for that, and we publish that plan. And then when we get money back and have additional things, then we'll just announce that to people, because it's really not a grant. It's all done. It's all made possible through Doug Hunt. And to tell you the truth, I appreciate you saying something to express our appreciation to Doug and you know, I think by and large, a large majority of our members enjoy the having the cattle here, but it's kind of turned toxic, our relationship between the ranch and the cows. I don't foresee this going to continue on in the future. I would be surprised if we need to just improve our relationship there. So I appreciate you, Barry, in expressing that at least publicly.
Any other questions before we move on to Kurt? All right, Kurt, you're up.
Okay, I do have a couple more things I wanted to go past you, and one of them is under cabin renovations. I had not before I came up here been through any of the cabins except for cabin 7, and I looked at cabin 8, and having now seen cabin 6, 9, 10, I would like to go to work on cabin 6 instead of 8, because 8 is like the top hall next to cabin 6, 9, and 10. And if I can get approval on the budget for cabin 8, I can do cabin 6 and also do some major structural improvements to 9 and 10 while we're waiting to get to them.
I second that motion.
Well, we'll consider that, Brad, a motion, and look for somebody else to second it.
I will second.
Okay. Any opposed to shifting from the improvements planned on, or postponing the improvements planned on Cabin 8 to focus on 6, 9, and 10? Anybody opposed to making that or approving that? Sounds like we're all in favor, so everybody... is in favor of doing that, Kurt. You are our eyes and ears on the ground, and I think if we can approve those that really need it, then at a future date, then we can do some more improvements on all of them. So the key is relying on you to keep us updated. But I think that's a great idea.
And just so you know, I'm working. I kind of got. The tool room, I've made one half of the tool room, the upper half that's getting ready to fall over. I'm turning that into kind of a wood shop. I set up a new workbench in there that's 4 feet by 8 feet, and it's straight. The whole room looks goofy in that room. It's pretty funny. But setting up saws and stuff, because I can make board and bat doors for the cabins in a very short period of time, and they're attractive. And I can also make windows, and I can do a lot of stuff, make it ourselves in-house with the tools that I already have there. And as I was talking about earlier on the store, I've kind of cleaned it out. I've kind of got a really good direction going for it where we're going to address, because, you know, I mean, When you drive into the parking lot of the headquarters, you're just like, oh, okay, what's next?
I know.
And hopefully by the next week, if the weather lets up a little bit, when you pull into that parking lot, my goal is that store and the kiosk are going to pop out, and it's going to attract people in that direction. That said, I'm going to go back to the blacksmith shop that I would like to rebuild, and I have a $3,500 special project proposal on that. And phase one of that would be to take it down, and then I would reutilize all of the material from that into the store. As far as putting, you know, I love the tin on top of the blacksmith shop. I would incorporate that into the awning. I'm adding an awning to it. And underneath that awning on the wall between the store and the showers is going to be a big communication board. So people can, if somebody needs somebody to haul water for them, they can put a little post-it note up there or tack a note on there and says, hey, I need somebody to haul water to lot 161. And then people that are passing by can all kind of work together and have a community board there. But I'd kind of like to get the blacksmith approved also. If if not the rebuilding of it, at least taking it down so I can reutilize that material.
Anybody have an objection to that? I haven't seen or looked at the blacksmith shop in detail since I was 12 years old, so I don't know its current condition and probably shouldn't express much of an opinion one way or the other on it. Does anybody else have an opinion?
No, I'm in favor of going with Kurt's decision.
Yeah, I support Kurt's decision there, too.
Thank you.
Okay, I think you got the go-ahead to get going on that.
All right. I will make you proud.
All right. Anything else from you, Kurt?
That's it.
I've got a question for Kurt, and a question for you, too, Barry.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Did you and Kurt both take the water class? Where are we at on that?
No, neither of us took the water class. As we got closer to the date of the class, I got a couple cases in that made it very difficult, and so I talked to Larry about it, and Larry encouraged and twisted the arms of Jeff Mickelson. And Jeff Mickelson, as you know, former board member, my brother-in-law, he took the class. He's waiting for the results, but he has been participating with Brent on doing the testing, and so the proposal that I had previously made, he's going to make a similar proposal, I assume, in the next board meeting or so, but he's going to be our certified water operator, and he's, because he's up at the ranch very regularly and has already taken over those duties as far as helping take the water in to be tested, but more importantly, putting his name or prepared to put his name as operator on all of our paperwork.
Okay, sounds good. I got a question and a comment for Kurt. I was in favor of buying that new trailer that's enclosed so we could use it for moving furniture and other stuff without getting a lot of dust and mud on everything. I called Brent a while back, and I said, we can use that trailer, get it to St. George, and I could transfer all this furniture that I'm buying for Cabin 3 and put it in there and keep it clean. Now I'm being told by Brent that it's so full of everything that it can't be used for anything. I don't believe we should be buying a trailer that's good for doing that purpose and using it for a storage room. If we need a storage room, let's buy another shed. We need that trailer to be available to transport stuff without it getting damaged, or am I wrong here?
Oh, Joe, I agree with you 100%. I think that what happened in the heat of the moment when we got the trailer was Kathy needed a place to store some tools out of the way, because one thing on the ranch, there is no storage. And, you know, we keep getting stuff, and we don't have anywhere to put it. And so there was the leftover TNG from Cabin 7 was in there, and the trim and a lot of Scott's tools. And then some of my tools were in there also. And so I took it down a couple weeks ago to the headquarters, and I emptied it out. And I had gone to Duke's, and I got all there's a trailer load of wood there. And because I didn't want to tie up the flatbed, I emptied out the box trailer, and I put that wood in the box trailer. And so that's what's stored in there right now, basically, is all that TNG.
I understand that. I'm just saying that, you know, we should use the trailer as a trailer. Maybe we should just go ahead and buy another 20-foot or 40-foot storage unit, because there's no sense having a trailer on wheels that we can't use.
I agree with you 100%, but that's where it is. And, yes, we do need to. I'm cleaning out the washer and dryer storage container behind the ranch house, which is just a cluttered mess. And I can't get a vehicle back there, but I'm going to need to before I can do it. And I could put some stuff in there, and we could probably put all that furniture in there. But, yeah, I think trailers are pretty much not useless if they're full.
Yeah. Well, maybe we ought to get another 40-foot storage unit just for a backup.
Well, for that money, we can build a building and it'll look better.
Okay. Well, you can put it back by, you know, the where the battery are for the for the solar system, we could put a trailer back in that area and it wouldn't look bad. But, yeah, if we can build something, that's fine.
Okay.
Actually, what if we got another trailer and spaced it away parallel to one of the other ones, we could have put a roof over two of them and have an under area there, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, let's work towards when, as weather permits or otherwise, let's work towards having that trailer empty. It sounds like there's quite a bit of need as far as having that to haul stuff around, especially in the spring as we're trying to bring up furniture and other things for cabin to go back in the cabins. So,
yeah, and at that point, I'd also like to interject with when you're buying materials for something. Or you have something for the ranch, or you want to donate something to the ranch. Remember, there's no storage. We don't have anywhere to put it. You know, we have some materials up there that'll we can use on the next three cabins. But meanwhile, it's sitting out in the open. It's got a tarp on it, and somebody's got to maintain the tarp. And it's just, you know buy what you need and use it, and then let the next person buy what they need. I have a countertop, a Formica countertop in the carport that's been sitting in the mud I don't know how long. I got it up on blocks now. It's a nice blank piece, cut sink in wherever you want. But it's just, you know, stuck up under there, and there's lots of leaks in that carport, and you get mud in that.
All right. Well, do the best you can. Any other questions or comments for Kurt? Let's move on to Kathy. Kathy, what have you got for us?
I just wanted to speak a little bit on that trailer. That trailer was actually bought when we were doing those cabins, and we were having problems with our stuff coming up missing. So we wanted to lock everything out. Plus, we were hitting a lot of weather. So I think it's a great idea to be able to use it for a trailer and what it's used for. So I just wanted to add that in. I've been in and out of my service. It keeps blocking me out. So I did hear a little bit on it. But as far as the cabins, the lower cabins, it's all good. You know, I know that we've got some that have been wanting to come out and stay out there. I know that there's several that have had to cancel because of the weather. Speaking with that, I'd like to get a little bit of input from everybody on if somebody backs out because of weather, if they should be charged the reservation fee still, or what's your thoughts on it?
I'd like to comment on that, Kathy. And okay. I think that it's a membership. It's not like it's a hotel. It's a membership. And I think that in the wintertime we charge a $100 fee. I think that's fine. But in the summertime, if the cabins are open anyhow, what effort do we have to make, really, if somebody cancels? We take the name off the list and make it available for the next guy. So I don't think there should be, I mean, cancellation fees, I don't really think they're that big of a deal if the cabins are open anyhow.
I concur.
Well, the cabin was has been open, but I know that weather has been a real issue, and really don't want to see people tearing the roads up. So if they cancel because of weather, I think we ought to, look at that a little bit. But I haven't had a chance to talk to you, Mariah, about it, and I thought maybe I better put that out for the board to
I don't think there should be a cancellation fee during season.
One of my concerns about there not being a cancellation fee, with all due respect, is simply we have – it just becomes one of those things that's hard to follow. If it's because of weather, then do we also say, okay, you had a family member pass away? Okay. I know that Kurt's done a really good job at keeping the members apprised on what the situation is. We send out some text messages recently ahead of time to let members know that we're coming out, that they could expect the weather that they could expect. I'm concerned if we eliminate and just say that we can reimburse all fees, and maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying, but I'm concerned if we say we'll just reimburse, there won't be a cancellation fee, there's no financial responsibility, that our members will actually suffer due to those who will not treat that respectfully.
What if we hold on to the reservation fee and just have them reschedule for a future time?
I think we could do that, but for how long?
would we do that?
I got a point. That season? I don't know.
Have we had a lot of questions on that, Mariah?
Could I say something?
Evelyn.
Yeah, Brent. Could we leave that up to Kurt as far as the weather is concerned? If Kurt closes the road, basically, then that allows people to refund their and if he doesn't, then there's no refund. So then people can't take advantage of the real problem, and Kurt knows it's a real problem, then people can get a refund, even maybe just be allowed to use their switch their reservation to another day.
This is Barry. Let me just make a comment here real quick, and then I'll let you guys continue. Number one, we don't want to encourage people to come out in, and we're specifically talking about the springtime. We don't want them to encourage them to make extra efforts to come out when the roads are muddy and a problem. So I agree there shouldn't be any refunds. There should be we'll allow you to reschedule within this season and use your deposit towards that. So number one, I think that we don't make any reimbursements. The second thing I think is this needs to be, anything that we do on this needs to be seasonal, meaning what we're talking about is anything that happens prior to April 15th or something, because if it's summer in the summer season, we can't have members having no financial responsibility, or they'll simply make reservations and then they don't care whether they show up or not, and it screws up the whole deal and takes time away from other people that would come. And believe me, members will have lots of excuses and those kind of things, but even if there's, you know, even if there's a lot of rain in July, for example, I don't think that we should be entertaining waiving or postponing or doing anything as far as the reservation fee. I think this is limited only to the early spring reservations, and it should just be a credit of that deposit against a reservation that has to happen during, you know, before the end of the season of that same year.
Well, I kind of agree, but I don't have a problem with Kurt being, I mean, he's the one that's got the feet on the ground, but I do believe, and I don't know how many incidents that you've had, Mariah, where people have had to cancel. I know of a few. I haven't really been in on the reservations that much, but I do believe that if weather is bad like it has been, you know, off and on, you know, a week ago it was dry, and so, you know, some people, okay, it looks like it's going to work, but anyway, I just kind of feel like we need to maybe put a system in place on how you guys want to address that, and that's why I'm bringing it up.
I think it's wise to bring it up, and I think for right now, unless somebody has an objection, we leave it to Kurt and Mariah to use their best judgment until we can have a meeting and maybe put in a more concrete rule that we can, so that everybody's treated equally. And I'm not concerned about that, but for right now, let's just leave it to the two people that interact and have that issue, you know, deal with that issue until we have a chance to discuss it further.
Okay.
I agree.
That sounds good.
I'll get with you, Kurt, and Mariah, maybe we can kind of go over and talk about it and trying to put system in place. So that would.
Anything else, Kathy? Oh, maybe we lost Kathy. Larry, do you got anything to report in your area?
I really don't at this point. I am a little concerned about people that are still trying to travel or possibly take equipment out to the ranch. I heard that Phil Hall was still trying to get Alan's big trackle out there April 1st, and I don't have a problem with that, but I think we need to start making people aware that they are going to be responsible or charged or somehow take care of damage done. Because there's probably no chance in hell that the roads are going to be able to support heavy equipment to move a trackhoe to the ranch by April 1st.
Yeah, I've been looking at the forecast, the extended forecast, and April is supposed to be a lot like March.
Yeah, if he can get that trackhoe to the ranch by May 1st, I would be surprised without doing some significant damage.
Is there any water in the ponds?
Yeah, there's water in the ponds. There's water just about everywhere.
Half Moon Reservoir, does it have? Is it holding water? Is the catchment outright at the ranch gate holding water?
Outside the ranch gate has got a little bit of water in it, and I cannot positively tell you on Half Moon. I'll go take a look this afternoon.
If it's dry and we don't get a wet spring, which doesn't look like it's going to happen, but you could clean some of that yourself with the backhoe. If it's still dry in the spring, it's been dry all fall and all spring.
Right.
And you should be able to get in there and do some work yourself. Just saying. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think it's a good idea that we let people know and I don't know exactly the method for doing it, but if they're damaging the roads on it, bringing heavy equipment out, then they're going to have to be responsible for making whatever repairs. And we need to be a little bit better on figuring that out. The problem is without putting up a gate and forcing people to check in before they go, then it's going to be up to Kurt and others of you guys that are out there on the ground to figure out who did what, and we'll send them a bill.
Hey, this is Joe. I will call Phil Hall and make sure that he has Alan Marion do a dry run with a pickup or something to see what the roads look like so we can be sure we're okay with that rather than just going out there with heavy equipment.
Perfect. I appreciate that, Joe. Anything else, Larry?
Nope.
Joe, you're the last of the best of all the game. So what do you got for us?
I've got nothing new. Just to let Kurt know, I purchased quite a few items for the ranch, but all the items I've purchased do not need to be put in storage. I mean, I was going to put them in cabin 9 or 10 until the snow was gone for the upper cabins, but everything I'm buying can be put right into cabin 3, and everything should be okay. I got a few things for the garden cabin, and everything else is good to go.
Did you get those cushions for the outside furniture?
Yeah, I got some outside furniture also for the garden.
Did you get the furniture or just the cushions?
I got two chairs for the outside porch of the garden cabin.
Okay, because I had emailed you and then Candy about some cushions because I can refinish the outdoor furniture that's on the deck there now.
She actually bought two new chairs with cushions for the porch. I don't know if she's got extra cushions for the old ones or not yet.
Okay, because I can refinish those and fix them and make them up pretty nice. I just need the cushions for them.
Okay, I will find out from her. Right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's talk about next board meeting schedule. Unless somebody else has something urgent to bring up, I'm looking at my calendar, and the next board meeting would normally be on the 11th of April. And normally this time of year, then we'd have it at the ranch, but it doesn't sound like that really makes a whole lot of sense to schedule there. Let me ask you this. How do you guys feel about these meetings over the telephone?
We need to have, I think, our next meeting really needs to be in person to help Brad out, because I know the stuff that he wants to share with us is probably better done in person.
Well, unless there's an objection, then I would suggest that we schedule the next meeting here at my office. That way we don't have to worry about weather, which may or may not have improved significantly. And have it here, because we'll have plenty of meetings from May through October at the ranch, but I don't want to speak for everybody. Obviously, it's pretty simple for me to come to my office. It's not quite as simple for you guys.
This is Joe. I don't have a problem with the 11th. That's your facility, but normally on the 11th, I'm at my cabin. So it may be a problem if I get rained in up there with Kurt.
The 11th is Easter weekend also, I believe.
Yes, it is. Let's see. Would April 18th work any better for anybody? Because I could do April. I could do April 18th.
I'm good.
That works for us.
Good.
Okay, let's schedule it for now to be at my office at 11 a.m. on April 18th.
Hey, sounds good.
Okay, anything else before we close the meeting? There doesn't sound like there's anything else, so let's go ahead and call it a day. I appreciate all of you participating. Hopefully, the things will settle down as far as viruses and other crazy stuff, and we can have a good meeting next month, and this will all be behind us. So I look forward to seeing you guys, and we'll talk to you later.